Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this evening as we take up the beginning of our Passion service this year, numbering the Passion of our Savior, we start here with the second one. John chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who willingly went the way of the cross, dear fellow, redeemed in his precious blood. How did we get here? The most effective teachers for me as a student were those teachers that always began the next period with a review of what we had discussed the class before. Professors Gergel and Nolting were especially good at this recapping and reviewing the previous period to allow us to connect the dots with what we are about to learn. How did it happen that Jesus of Nazareth found himself arrested and bound? How did we get here? Well, Jesus wasn't the first traveling teacher to come to Jerusalem, but he was the first to call out the religious and secular powers of the day for their sinful thoughts and actions. The Pharisees didn't like the dirty laundry of their self-righteous hearts hung out before the people. The Sadducees, the more earthly-minded sect, didn't like that Jesus curtailed their sales in the temple. And then Jesus also rebuked the teachers of the law for their hypocrisy. As a result, all the bigwigs in Jerusalem felt threatened by Jesus, but what could they do about it? It was the high priest, a man named Joseph Caiaphas, who suggested the plan to deal with Jesus. He hinted that Jesus of Nazareth was a revolutionary who might call for a revolt against the Roman government, resulting in trouble for the whole nation, for the lot of them. The Spirit of God sets us in the gallery as the matter was discussed in the Jewish high court. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. And as you know, in time, Satan filled the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus for a sum of money. He looked for opportunity to make it happen. And on the day that the Passover lamb was killed and consumed during the festival of unleavened bread, Judas made plans to spring the trap on Jesus, his master. He obtained a band of soldiers from the governor Pontius Pilate, commanded by what was likely the highest ranking soldier in all of Jerusalem. The officers of the Jews, the temple guard, also accompanied them to arrest Jesus in Gethsemane. It was very early in the morning on the day we know as Good Friday when they came to the place called Gethsemane where Jesus was praying and his disciples were sleeping. But it didn't go like they expected it to. Jesus of Nazareth didn't run. He came out to meet them. He asked them, "Who are you looking for?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said simply, "I am he." But when he spoke, they all stepped backward and fell to the ground. They dusted themselves off and tried it again. "Who are you looking for?" Jesus of Nazareth, I am he. When they stepped forward to arrest him, one of his servants tried to intervene, one of his disciples rather, and managed to hack off the ear of a servant. Jesus fixed the man's ear and rebuked his disciple, and then all of them ran away. That's how we get to where we are. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Our Lenten series this year deals with numbers. And this evening, it asks us to focus our attention upon two evil leaders. Annas and Caiaphas certainly fit the bill. They were instrumental, for sure, in greasing the wheels of injustice to have Jesus arrested and put to death. Annas had been high priest in Jerusalem until some years earlier he was deposed by Pontius Pilate's predecessor. Being high priest was a family affair for Annas. Because his son followed as high priest, his son-in-law, and after him, three other sons and a grandson. Just like we call men who've been president, president, even when they're no longer president. So the people of Jesus' day called Annas the high priest, even though he wasn't the high priest anymore. His son-in-law was. Joseph Caiaphas was elevated to high priest by the same man who preceded Pontius Pilate. He married into one of the richest and most influential of Jewish families. He married Annas' daughter. It was Joseph Caiaphas who suggested that Jesus be killed, and it was he who arranged for Jesus to be brought to his father-in-law while he assembled the Jewish high court in the middle of the night. The evil deeds of these two men, Annas and Caiaphas, aren't difficult to see. Neither are the foibles of men like Pontius Pilate, the Roman soldiers who scourged Jesus, and the mob that called for his death. But there's a danger in focusing upon these kind of people, that we ourselves begin to slide down the slippery slope of self-righteous hypocrisy. The Spirit of God does not reveal the sins of these men so that we can point the finger at them and imagine in our hearts that we aren't nearly as bad as they were. There is within each one of us the same wicked, fallen nature. There is in us the same capacity for evil. People today may suggest that good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people, but the Savior himself warns us about that kind of an attitude and conclusion. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus addressed this hypocritical tendency in human beings. After hearing about two recent tragedies, one including Pilate's killing of certain Galileans, Jesus asked, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." The long and short of that is simply this, that rather than attempt to ascertain why God has allowed some event to take place, instead of patting ourselves on the back because we're not as bad, we are to concern ourselves with what goes on in our hearts and in our minds and seek God's forgiveness in Christ. For you see, my Christian friends, it was not merely the command of Annas and Caiaphas that led to Jesus' arrest. It was not the bonds fastened by those soldiers on his wrists that confined him in Gethsemane and before Annas and Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. The Roman soldiers themselves couldn't even stay upright when Jesus said, "I am he." Do you really think that the ropes bound him? If it had not been his hour, he would have walked through the midst of them and they could do nothing about it. It was rather Jesus' obedience to the Father's plan to save sinners that kept him bound. After restoring Malchus's ear, Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" It wasn't the ropes, but his love for sinners, for you and for me, that moved him to humbly submit to this indignity. For the same Jesus said long beforehand, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." It wasn't merely the will of Annas and Caiaphas that led to Jesus' arrest and death, but even then, his refusal to disobey even a single commandment of God. When Jesus later stood before Pontius Pilate, he recognized God had given him the authority. And he said, "You could have no power at all against me if it had not been given to you from above." It would be a terrible mistake to look at these words and see only two evil leaders, two men named Annas and Caiaphas. It was God the Father who sent his Son to do this for you, to humble himself, to submit, to be obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There's something much larger going on here than a pair of Jewish high priests arranging for soldiers and weapons to arrest the teacher from Nazareth. In the shadows behind these two evil men and their accomplices hides a fallen angel named Satan, the ruler of this fallen world, who is quick to oppose all that is good. He is delighted to smear the good name and reputation of the one who exercises power over him time and again. But in seeing to the death of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, that fallen angel sealed his own fate. There's something much larger here than two Jewish high priests. For bathed in the light of eternity, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, watched the Father, who allowed this evil to befall his Son, to serve the greater cause and the greater purpose that his love and his mercy had chosen. And by his Son's death, he paid even for the sins of one Annas and Caiaphas, and for all the sins of humanity. All this takes place to pay for sinners, and not just one or two. This takes place so that where two or three are gathered together in his name, they can be certain that he is present among them, though unseen. All this takes place so that when you must stand before the judgment seat on the great day of judgment and the books are open to your name, it will be declared that there is nothing, nothing for which you may be charged. The debt of your sin and your guilt has been expunged from the record forever. And thanks to a God-given faith, there will also be there evidence of that living faith. And then the one who once humbled himself and was bound for your sake, will say, Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So you see, there's much more here than two evil leaders named Annas and Caiaphas. There's much more here in the Passion story than Pontius Pilate and a mob. Here is God's love and mercy for you and for every sinner. Even in Gethsemane, God prepared to choose you Barabbases to go free and sent his son to the cross. Paschal Lamb, by God appointed, all our sins on thee were laid. By almighty love anointed, thou hast full atonement made. Every sin may be forgiven through the virtue of thy blood. Open is the gate of heaven. Peace is made twixt man and God. Amen.